set aside. So if you ever figure, remember that
CITR
can be mighty helpful.
Yee-haw!
You are listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, a show specifically designed to educate and inspire you to find work you love and nothing less. You know, we often say on the show that if you love doing something so much, you must earn a living doing it. Well, if you see, this is what I figured out, though. If you turn a hobby into making money, you're going to like the hobby a little less but make a lot of money. But you'll like the hobby less. The other alternative is you love the hobby and you make no money. So that's your choice. Love a hobby, make less money, make more money, and don't like your hobby as much. So sometimes in life, when you turn your hobby into something you love, you make more money, but you do the conversion, but it's a payoff. In my experience, it's always best to convert your hobby into something you love. Today is a fascinating show, and I'm going to get you all excited by first talking about who we're covering and who we're going to be meeting today. I'm so excited to have this guest on the air. She's a professional, an expert at matching what employers want and getting you your dream job. And we're going to talk about how she does that and what employers are looking for. So I'm so excited to have her on the air. Also, I'll be talking about the one-day dream job challenge. No joke, we brought 7 students into the city, and they booked so many interviews, and they landed so many dream jobs out of one day that it produced such dramatic results that everyone was shocked. Well, I always knew it was going to work because I had tested it. And I always say on the air, nothing brought on air is not been proven in the market. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, the one-day dream job challenge. Extremely exciting. But first, before we get into today's show, I want to talk about last week's show. What did we talk about? Very, very exciting. We talked about the backwards career. I told you that if you do a backwards career approach, you'll be more successful in your life. Now, you might think that backwards is bad, but when it comes to your career, backwards is good. But I'm not going to repeat it. If you missed it, listen to that last week's show. Go on air. Rather, go on the website, www.citr.ca. Click on podcasts, and then you're going to hear, click on Career Fast Track. Listen to the show. It's called Backwards Career. You're going to absolutely love it. During that show, we also talked about how to make the most money in your career and how to eliminate completely nerves from the interview. So it was a great one. Actually, I had someone come to me and said, that was a fantastic show. So, you know, it's kind of nice to hear sometimes. So good. Quote of the week. I always start the show with a quote of the week. And this quote is, you're going to love this one. It's going to dramatically reduce your anxiety around your subject of careers. It said this, the Industrial Revolution was the result of the first shortage of skilled labor. Say that again. The Industrial Revolution was the result of the first shortage of skilled labor. So you might be saying out there that the computers are going to take over our jobs and we're not going to have any work. But the reason why the Industrial Revolution happened was because there weren't enough people. And that's exactly what's happening today. The market's tight. Employers are complaining. So what is substituting for people? Computers. So your job will not be eliminated. The only reason computers are existing right now is to take over for the lack of people. So no worries. So hopefully that'll dramatically reduce your anxiety around it. Because I hear that a lot. Oh, computers are going to take over the world. No, they're here to help us and replace for those who aren't there. Good. The other thing, every single week what I do, I call it the top question. I received a myriad of questions during the week, and I want to summarize the best question that I received during the week and tell you the answer on the air. And I love this question. So someone came up to me and said, should I build on my strengths or should I build on my weaknesses? So that was a question. It's about careers. So they wanted to do more career development, and so they said, should I focus on what I'm good on or should I improve on what I'm weak on? And I'm going to quote, there was a book that had a great article about this one, and it's very, very simple. I have a very simple philosophy around this. Do not strengthen your weaknesses. Do you know what? It actually takes people an entire lifetime to become a professional at one thing. It would take you 10 lifetimes to become a professional at what you're not good at. So everyone will say, well, it's good to be well-rounded, and on the job, you're not going to have everything perfect, and I get that. But it's better on the job to be fantastic at one thing and weaker at other things and to be average at all things. And I'm very, very clear about this. You might get a hit from your boss saying, you're not so good at this. But if you're really good at what you love doing, it's far better to do that. So focus on your strengths and build upon your strengths. I've always said this. You must specialize before diversifying. When Bell Canada or TELUS, they started off with landlines. They didn't get into anything else. But once they made all their money in landlines, then they went into wireless and internet. But unless you specialize, never diversify. Your energies are too spread out. And by the way, you can never make $1 million on the stock market if you diversify. The only people that make a lot of money are the people who run their own businesses or invest in a few stocks. My friend, no joke, 45 years old, he took all his money from his RSP and put it into one bank stock, Royal Bank. And, well, we know what happened there. They all went up about five times. Okay, so that's 500% increase with the money he put in. He put about $400,000. So his kids are happy now, and so is his, are his family. Now, listen, that was a huge risk. I agree. But what I've discovered is you must specialize before diversifying. Good. And lastly, success story. I met a student the other day, and he is 22 years old, and he's in sales, and he makes $72,000. Now, I think sales gets a bad rap, and we're about to talk to an individual who is in the field of sales, business development. And so I want to share this, is that many times sales gets a bad rap. You know, you're in retail sales, you're selling shoes for $8-$10 an hour. This person sells and makes $72,000 a year, and he's 22 years old. He's good at people management. When I talked to him, he didn't care about getting what he wanted out of our conversation. He cared about me, and I sensed it right away. You like people, sales is a real good place to start. We might get into that with our guest today. All right, here it is. I'm so excited to introduce our guest, Mary Henley. She's business development. You're a business developer, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, please say hi to her. Hi, Mary. Good to see you.
Hello, Philippe.
Nice to have you on the air. So she works at Sauder School of Business in the Career Center, and she works with MBA students particularly. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So could you tell me, tell me what you love most about your work?
Sure. The most gratifying thing about my job definitely is seeing students get jobs that they love. So students taking on internships or co-op roles on the undergrad side and graduates getting a job once they finish their degree.
So are you good at your job?
I think I am, yes.
Okay, so now listen. One of the things I do always do in the air is that the listener is very skeptical and they have difficulty sometimes believing what we say on the air. So what I'd just like you to tell me is what is some evidence you have in your life that indicates to you that you're in the right career? Now, you're not going to obviously gloat over yourself, but just say, why do you know you're in the right career? What feedback have you received from employers, from students? What have you heard?
Sure. Yeah, I should say, actually, yes, I am good at my job, and it is sales in a nutshell. My official title is Business Development Manager. So what that means is that I attract new business and repeat business back to campus to hire jobs. So in this capacity, it's not sales in the fact that I'm generating direct revenue for selling a certain product or commodity, but what I'm doing is selling the school and the university, the program. So let's go back to the school. So I'm selling the Sauder School of Business, the university, which is UBC, two really strong brands, the program, which is the BCom or the MBA program, and then the individual student. So I basically got four or five really strong selling points that when I go out to meet with employers, I have kind of five very solid touch points that I can be really genuine about. It's not necessarily a tough sell. I'm not out there kicking the tires, trying to manipulate my clients who are the employers. I'm just sort of giving them information and maybe steering them in the right direction on how their needs can be met on the recruitment front.
So you're telling me that you don't have to lie to someone to sell them something?
Absolutely not.
Your experience has been the opposite?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the more genuine, the better.
Okay. Now, would you agree? I mean, I guess in your life, you've met a lot of people who've been in business development. Oh, by the way, listener, business development means building business. In other words, sometimes it could be synonymous with sales. Sales tends to be more direct. Like if you're visiting employers, you're calling on them directly, maybe selling a product. But business development is often used interchangeably. So just so you know, it's very similar. Business development. Other terms for sales, by the way, account executive, that's another term you can use in sales. So okay, good. So you've probably met a lot of people in sales. Have you noticed some people that are good and some people that are not as good?
For sure. Yep. So when you work in the field, I think you become a little bit more in tune to people who are working under commission, for example, or working in a performance-based environment. So that means the amount of product they sell or amount of units they sell of whatever it is they're selling. So using Xerox for an example, they have a certain amount of quotas the sales rep do, and they're compensated based upon meeting the quotas and exceeding the quotas. So they'd be compensated, you know, with annual bonuses, perhaps quarterly bonuses, plus a base salary, etc. Anyway, so the stakes are high. So the more they sell, the more money they get. I think that's where sales gets a bad rap. Mm. And that's where the negative words around sales, like it's artificial and the relationship building is contrived, maybe it's manipulative, etc. But again, I think that good salespeople see a need to make business better, see a need to service their clients better, and close the deal. That's basically what sales is.
And you enjoy your work. It sounds like you enjoy your work.
I do, absolutely.
Okay, you're in sales and you enjoy it. So folks listening out there, if you're considering a career in sales, I wasn't sure we were going to go here. I like this. So we're touching upon the career of sales because Mary is in business development. And so if you're interested in sales, you can do it and keep your integrity and you don't have to lie. Isn't that a nice idea? Okay, because often you hear that bad rap.
It's radical.
It's radical, it is. We have a few minutes before we go into break. By the way, on our break time, we're taking your phone calls, an opportunity to ask questions about careers in sales or what employers are looking for. We're going to go into that more after the break, or tap into, let's say, what I talked about earlier in the show. The phone number here is 604-822-2487, 822-2487, area code 604. 604-822-2487. Call during the break only. That way we'll have a chance to take your call. What I would like to know is, what's the general, just give me big picture, the general market like right now?
The market is hot. Yeah, in a word. A lot of opportunities. I would say there's even sort of a frantic feel.
Mary, I'm going to stop you there.
Sure.
Wait a minute. Well, I know that Burger King is looking for a burger flipper. And I know that in Calgary, Tim Hortons is paying $15. By the way, that's true, $15 for a cashier. Are you talking hot for those kind of jobs? Are you talking hot for the... By the way, there's nothing wrong with those jobs. I'm just saying they get a bad rap that we can't get hot jobs at higher levels. So what is it true?
Yep, across the board, the market's hot. So there are three sort of major trends influencing recruitment at the moment. Demographic shift. This is what the buzz is about. A couple of years ago, there was a lot of discussion around women in management, that element of demographic shift. Now the demographic focus is, boomers moving out, the stresses on healthcare, shortage of labor, etc. Big trend around social networking sites, so creative, innovative ways to recruit the younger generation. So say Generation X, not so much. Would you say everyone's familiar with Gen X, Philippe?
Can we talk on that a bit? Can
sure.
You? Okay, sure, please. Yeah.
You bet. So Generation X would, let's say, born between 1965 and 77 or 78.
Okay.
And the generation that follows that is called Generation Y, or the millennial generation, or I've just learned the thumb generation. Very interesting. Which means, they're using their thumbs less and more for different uses than have been in the past.
Yes.
So less manual labor, more technology use. And the big heat is around as the boomers are moving out. So the baby boomers are people who are sort of reaching retirement age. As they're moving out of the workforce, recruiters are needing to look at creative ways to attract Generation Y specifically. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that this is mainly the market that we're serving in our work at the school. And social networking sites, it's so interesting. I go to quite a few conferences and meet with employers a lot. And listening to recruiters who are, mid-30s through mid-50s talking about Facebook and LinkedIn and Doosteng and all of these social networking and trying to figure out how to connect with this generation who's really wired and also really collaborative. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge trend, and definitely the market. I think the market's hot, not so much only in the opportunities, but just there's so much buzz around this generation and how to attract them and retain them.
I heard this great quote. If you think it's hard to find great work, try finding a great employee. That was a consultant who's on this show, 10 years experience in HR. She said it's impossible to find good people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's possible, but it's so much work. So for those of you out there who think it's hard to find good work, try being an employer, finding you, because I know you're very talented. Okay, Mary, we're back with Mary Henley, Business Development Manager at Sauder School of Business. And with your questions over the breaks, your opportunity to give us a call, 604-822-2487. We'll be back in about 46 seconds.
Would you like to help students improve their standings in math and English on provincial exams? Would you like to improve your own skills for teaching and leadership? Do you plan on entering the PDP program or law enforcement, youth work, BSW, or medicine? Volunteer as a tutor in an innovative program at QE Secondary School in Surrey in this midweek after-school program. In its 12th year, it has proven to be a rewarding experience for students and volunteer tutors. Contact Ms. Bond at 604-581-3476, 604-581-3476, or email bond_ats@hotmail.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or on the internet, by the way, www.ci.ca. ITR.ca. I'm so excited to tell you that all of these shows are on the internet, which means you can go and listen to previous shows which have been saved called podcasts. Simply go to CITR.ca, click on podcasts, click on Career Fast Track, and you'll be able to listen to all the previous shows. I think there's about 12 or 13 up there. They're wonderful shows. We're back with Mary Henley, Business Development Manager at the Sauder School of Business. In short, what she does is she gets great employers and great students, and she matches them. And she has to learn what an employer looks for and what a student looks for, and then she matches them. And we're back with Mary. And Mary, I want to ask you this question just to kick it off. How do you know if it's a good fit between the employer and the student or the employee? And by the way, if you're not a student out there and you're 45 years old and you're going through a career change, this subject directly relates to you. It's the matching of talent and need. How do you do that?
I think it all comes down to personality on both sides. It really is a personality fit. For sure, there's a base that employers look for, which is, you know, a certain level of skills. Depends on the job, of course. In more technical fields, there'd be more technical requirements. But I think, so the question before that you asked me, Philip, was, you know, am I good at sales? Essentially, it's, are you good at relationships? Are you good with people? Do you enjoy people? Do you like being around people? Mm-hmm. And if you can answer yes to those questions, then it means I think you're a fairly intuitive person. So what that then means by extension is that when you're talking with a recruiter, for example, about what they're looking for and what their corporate culture is, who they need to fit into their company, that's where you can identify, oh, perfect, I can think of a student who I think will fit. And it's the same on the opposite side, on the student side. When you've got experience with companies or employers directly or indirectly, when you're talking with a student, you think, perfect, I could see you matching so well and complementing the corporate culture of this place. And the corporate culture is based not so much just what the people are like, but what the company stands for.
And Mary, I'm so excited, I have to ask you this question. You've become a professional at figuring out a match. Let me ask you this. So you, the listener out there, you might ask yourself, how do I know if I'm a good fit for the employer? Mary, do you have any suggestions or tips or advice to those sitting out there who are either not working or working and hating their work or needing a change or just have no idea where to go but just need to do some kind of change? Any advice you would have for them to figure out what kind of company they would be a good fit for, if they've been to an interview or not been to an interview? Maybe you might touch on both. What's your opinion on that?
You bet. I'm glad you asked that as well, Philip, because we were talking about before the break how the market is hot and that there are lots of opportunities out there, but that's not to suggest it's easy to get a job. It's still the same. You still need to do the same amount of work, I think the same amount of introspection to figure it out, and the same amount of pounding the pavement. What really helps when you are looking for a job, whether you have one or not, or are underemployed, whatever your situation is to get out there in different capacities. So I think the big ones, which won't be a big newsflash, but something to think about, is volunteering. Going out to organizations like Toastmasters, which attract business professionals from across industry, or volunteering with an organization that you don't see a clear link between where you want to go. If you want to be in investment banking, you know, maybe you think you should volunteer for, I don't know, the charitable arm of some large financial institution. Maybe not. Maybe you can volunteer for the SPCA or something like that. But you never know who will be there and who you'll meet. And even if, again, there isn't a clear link with the people you meet, it's just practice. It's just getting out there, putting yourself out there. And I think a challenge that I've learned from you, which was really great, is to figure out your three things, you know, figure out what's not necessarily your pitch, but if someone asks you what you're looking for, figure it out just in a couple of sentences. You don't need a job title. You don't need to have your big master plan. Just what really motivates you. And again, that's challenging to do, but it only comes from talking with other people, because you might meet someone who's doing a job that you want to do.
Absolutely. So two things that you touched upon, which I think is worthwhile repeating. Networking is a very low frequency activity. Imagine you ate a chocolate bar and right away you saw a piece of fat appear in your belly. Well, I guarantee you would not eat that bar the next day. Networking is very similar. You network with one person, you automatically don't have a dollar bill appear in your pocket. So low frequency means it's actually occurring, but you don't see it. But it is actually happening behind the scenes, just like the fat that's building on your belly if you're chewing chocolate or your butt or wherever it adds up. I don't know. Some of the face. I don't know. That's another subject, another show. Okay. So remember, that's a great point. And she was also talking about how we're going to be moving into, yeah.
I do have something else to say. Go ahead. If I can take the reins. Another cool idea, which, again, it's chucked around a lot in discussions around networking and getting out there. Something cool is to look into networking programs like mentor programs that are sponsored by, like, the YMCA, for example, or the YWCA. Amazing, amazing programs, which are no cost. They attract people from all across, not even just the globe, but across industry, experience, age levels. And number one, really rewarding. And number two, you might, you just never know who you're going to meet.
Absolutely. I love that. Okay, good. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I promised you that I would talk to you a bit about the One Day Dream Job Challenge. We got about 3 or 4 minutes before the break. I'm going to touch on that. And after the break, we're going to be concluding the show and we're going to be asking Mary some very tough questions, including the final question. She doesn't know what it is yet. And I'm not going to say it, but I'll give her a little bit of a surprise. The One Day Dream Job Challenge, what is it? We brought 7 students into the city downtown, and we said, if you follow this itinerary, by the end of the day, you may likely land your dream job in one day. It's a huge promise, and how do we deliver? It's a very strict procedure, and if you don't follow it, you fail. If you follow it, you're more likely to succeed. It's based on the principle of this. If you focus on results and you don't get it, you get discouraged. If you focus on actions, results happen almost automatically. And so when you focus on actions, results are almost automatic. And so the day is broken down into 2 days. If you write this down and you apply this in your life, you may most likely, this is a warning, find extreme success very fast. So I don't suggest you do this if you don't want change to happen fast. If you're happy with the way life is, don't do this. This is called, it's a band-aid approach. It produces fast results with as least amount of pain. It's one day. From 9 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon, and it's broken down into 2 segments. The morning is called the drop-in, and the afternoon is called the call. What happens is, in the morning, you select 7 companies that are in a close geographic region, and you visit them face-to-face. You knock on their door, and you walk in, and you say the words. I don't think I'm going to say them to you. I'm actually going to say them next week, just to tease you. Come back. So next week, I'm going to be talking about the exact words to book an interview with a decision maker. And I'm not talking HR here. By the way, this is the non-HR approach, the decision maker approach, the director, the VP, the president. Dropping in and meeting these people is possible if done correctly. By the way, an ad usually says no calls. What it really means is no annoying calls. So if you know how to be a professional caller or drop-inner, you'll be successful. During the break, you then debrief exactly what happened. During the lunch, rather, you debrief exactly what happens. And then in the afternoon from 1 to 3, you make 20 phone calls. You call a decision maker and you book interviews with the key decision makers. The 7 people that actually did this, amazingly enough, in one day, produced this. 8 interviews with key decision makers in one day. Of course, in one day, I propose that you must do follow-up after that. Some of you may land your dream job instantly, but the work we're going after in the Dream Job Challenge is not entry-level work. It's project management work. It's accounting work. It's finance work. It's marketing. Marketing specialists, HR specialists. These are entry-level roles with career management perspectives. So what we do is you follow up after that with a phone call 24 to 48 hours after making your initial call or drop-in. Amazingly, within 1 week, these 7 interviews turned into 5 job offers and 4 dream jobs. In one day, within a 2-week period, 4 dream jobs resulted in one day's work. So that's why I can proclaim in one day you can land your dream job. Does it happen that day? No. But you never have to do any more activity after that one day. Does that make sense? I propose you never again have to do any more work after that one day. It's called the One Day Dream Job Challenge. Can't produce results in others, and I'm confident it can produce results for you. We're about to go to break. 1 minute and 12 seconds. An opportunity for you to give the call to the show. 604-822-2487 is the number. 822-2487. Opportunity to ask us a question. And on a return, I'll be asking Mary Henley some tough questions, business development manager, Sauter School of Business. And it'll be an opportunity for you to also ask us some tough questions. Will you see you after the break?
CITR podcast update number 5.
Work has begun on Canada's information highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. As it comes more and more into our personal lives, how are we going to cope with the techno peasants? I mean, this world, which was a fantasy for me 10 years ago, every 6 months becomes more a part of my own real life. You know, in the place where I do most of my writing, I now am just hooked into the world electronically, right, or would be if I could figure out how to make the bleep bleep modem work. But I'm technologically over my head already. The limit on me is not what you can do, it's what I can do.
I'm not sure you want to use your bleep bleep modem, or any modem for that matter, with receiving podcasts. But, just check out our website, and I'm sure you'll figure it out.
For more information, visit CITR.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening, and please be kind to robots.
You are listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9. I am Philip Deroche, your host, and this is a show specifically designed to educate and inspire you to find work you love. The reason why this show has picked up its momentum and gained a lot of attention is for one reason, because the content on the show is different from other career shows. Now, there are a million career books on the shelves, and it's the same information, but if you have an ability to communicate that information in a way that the person can actually hear it, then it's different information. Isn't it? Wouldn't you agree that many times we just repeat what someone else said, but if we have a gift of communicating it differently, then that's power. And so for the rest of this show, what I'm going to be talking to Mary about is a section called Truth and Nothing But the Truth. So far we've been quite good, slightly polite, and that's fine. But over the next 2-3 minutes, actually, you know what I'm going to do? We're almost there. It's almost the last thing. Let's go into the last question. It's called The Graveyard Secret. I'm about to ask Mary Hanley The Graveyard Secret. She doesn't know I'm going to ask her this question. Hopefully she'll be okay with it. But I'll define what a graveyard secret is. The graveyard secret is this. It's a personal secret that she has in her life that's a secret to her success. She usually would take it to the graveyard because it's so valuable to her in her life. But because I'm asking her so nicely on the air, we're going to ask her to reveal this graveyard secret with you on the air. So you're going to get a level of honesty that you could never get anywhere else. A couple shows ago, I had a marketing professor on the show. I asked him this question, and he revealed for the very first time his number one mentor in his life was his father. And his 30 years of teaching, he told me he never once shared that with his students. Very dramatic answer. So, Mary, your graveyard secret. Any thoughts, comments?
Be yourself. It's not radical, but it's so simplistic almost. I think it doesn't get mentioned enough. Regardless of what the situation is, I mean, it all comes down to being genuine, and people can just smell it. They can see it. You can tell when someone isn't being genuine. So a couple of other things around being yourself is the eye contact, right? And actual contact. So being in someone's space and being aware of being in someone's space, being aware of your words and how they're affecting the other person, and being aware of their words. So if you're building a relationship with them, let them take the lead. At the same time, be aware when they're asking you to take the lead. So I think, be yourself.
And I want to ask you a follow-up question on that one. How do you know when you are or are not being yourself? And how can the listener apply that technology?
I think when you feel uncomfortable, when you feel like you're performing, when things don't feel smooth, you know, when you're consumed a little bit with what's going on in your brain, for example, so you're processing, you're working under these assumptions that this is how I'm supposed to be. I guess it's when you're trying. Being yourself is moderately effortless, and it feels fantastic when it's over. And I think when you're practicing being yourself, after it's over, you think, wow, that was so motivating. I feel great, wonderful, because you've been true to yourself and true to the person you've been speaking with.
So in short, if you feel like you're performing, you're being not genuine.
I would say so, yeah.
And how, just to repeat, how do you know when you're being genuine?
When it's effortless, when there's no effort required.
Okay, so it's effortless. So the way you know something is effortless is if at the end you said to yourself, oh, that was easy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so one of the best ways to demonstrate authenticity is in the interview. And while this question is relating to life, it can be specifically related to your career and specifically the interview, because during the interview is the most amazing opportunity for you to be yourself. And so if you're performing, you're fake. And if it's effortless, you're being genuine. Mary, I'd like to thank you for being on the air.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been great.
Yeah, that Mary, was fun.
Good. I'm glad you had fun. I had a lot of fun as well. And I know the audience did as well. You must have had some fun. And so Mary Henley is the Business Development Manager, the Sauder School of Business at the Career Center. And she is busily matching employers with students. We're happy to have her on the air. You've been listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You've been listening to a show that is specifically designed to educate you, make sure you make lots of money, and of course, always be unstoppable.
Where can you find carnivorous plants, attractive submerged layers of earth, and a festival celebrating